Say this with me, where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is in manifestation. We've come to find out, folks, that that's more than just a motto. It's more than that. Right now, let's see, well, didn't start right now, they started at 10. But in Nanuet at Redeeming Love Christian Center Espanol and in Nanuet Church, they're teaching on the motto in both congregations. We're going to start up here. Last Saturday, while Pastor Enrique was preparing and I was preparing and Pastor Ed was preparing, the Holy Ghost around the same time between 9:30 and 10:30, told us all, started giving us things to teach concerning the motto. And Pastor Enrique, he just shifted and he started last Sunday. Pastor Ed and I, we talk over things, and I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, are you changing the message? Is this what you want me to teach Sunday? Speaking about last Sunday. And he said, no, but he kept giving me things. And it's almost as if I want to say, Lord, you interrupted my thought. He has permission to do that, by the way. But he said, no, I want you to start teaching on the motto. And he gave Pastor Enrique and Pastor Ed, because I guess they fish. They've been fishermen. I fished once 60 years ago. So I don't know fishing. I know how to eat fish. And if we're in the store and you pick one up and throw it to me, I'll catch it. That's the extent of fishing for me. But he gave me the title, More Than a Motto. So for the next 2 weeks, to this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching on the motto. When Pastor Ed comes up, he's going to teach on it from a coming. We even when we teach the same thing, we come from different directions. Because there's more than just one way. But it's more, much more than a motto. And oddly enough, God gave this to Pastor Sarah when they were coming through the Delaware Water Gap on their way back from Bible College. So she got the revelation in this area in 1980, 79 or 80 is when she got that those words that for what became the motto. The church hadn't been birthed. And we have a motto. Don't have a church yet, but we have a motto. And we need to understand something. The motto is the love of God is where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And one of the things I'm going to just jump right off the launching point and tell you, all four need to be present. All the time. All four. Think about it. What good is teaching if there's no love? You won't receive the teaching. What good is power with no direction? So you need, like the fruit of the Spirit, we always say the fruits of the Spirit and think it's love, joy, peace. No, it's one fruit that consists of all of those things. Actually, that's where I was going next. In my thinking, that was the next topic I was going to teach on. But since we are a place where the Spirit of God is directing, we're going to switch and go with what God wants. Say it again. Say, the love of God is evident. The word of God is taught. The spirit of God is directing. And the power of God is manifested. See, a motto, by definition, is a sentence, a phrase, a word that's inscribed on something that's appropriate to it or indicative of what the character of that thing is or how it's used. But I want you to keep thinking about Model describes character. So God knew he was starting a church. He knew it was going to be in at least three different places. We're sensing there's going to be some more coming soon. It has to stand for something. It has to, when people hear the name, they need to associate something with that name. And God said, this is what I want associated with Redeeming Love Christian Center. It's a place where his love is evident, his word is taught, his spirit is directing, and his power is in manifestation. So when you come to Redeeming Love Christian Center, you should leave feeling all those things. If you don't feel loved when you come in here, something's wrong. And we'll put up with a lot of things. But what we won't tolerate is discord on any level. On any level. That will get you out of here. And we'll even give you the boot in love. But we're very serious about it. Love has to flow freely. So today we're going to talk about when love of God is evident. And we're going to see if we can also get in some on where the word of God is taught. Next week we'll do the spirit directing and the power manifested. Hope that's okay. Would you go to Matthew 4, please? I'm going to start at verse 12. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible Classic. Amplified Bible Classic Edition. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested and put in prison, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea in the country of Zebulun and Naphtali. That was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be brought to pass. Verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, repent, change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways with abhorrence to your past sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I apologize, when I'm on here, the lights fixtures glare on the screen. Then verse 18, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. What did they do for a living? Jesus called out to them. Now, this is the first time he's seen them, and it's the first time they've seen him. And he called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, what goes through your mind when you hear something like that? You're in Walmart, and someone says, come with me, I'll tell you how to shop for people. You're like, what's the matter with him or her? But this is what they did. They left their nets at once and followed him. Their livelihood was fishing. They were practicing their livelihood. A stranger comes and says, follow me, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. And you immediately drop your livelihood and walk off with them. Left your nets, your boat, whatever you caught. You didn't talk about it with your family. They didn't say, what amazed me is the first thing they didn't say is, who are you? What's your name? They didn't say, what do you think? Should we go follow this guy or what? It says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, as I told you before, I'm not a fisherman, But I do know that if you want to catch fish, you need something that will attract them and create such a hunger in them that they'll bite. So any old thing won't do. You have to have the right kind of bait. Verse 21. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. He called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. What did they see that caused them to walk away from their family and their job? They just walked away. They didn't ask for any more evidence. They didn't sit down with their financial advisor. They didn't go over their bank accounts. Come follow me, okay. I'm trying to figure out what they heard or what they saw in Jesus that caused them to immediately leave without discussion of any type. In verse 23, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee and 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, from the east of the Jordan River. They all came. What did they see? What did they hear? It caused them to just come from all over the place. Go to John 3, please. And we're in the King James Version. We're just glad everybody has that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is how God felt about the people. All the people. He so loved us. So I'm thinking the people had to see the love of God in Jesus. Otherwise, why would... Are you going to go with someone where you look at them and they're looking at you with such disdain and hate and evil? When he said, he didn't say, come follow me. You might say, excuse me? Follow me. You're like, wow, I think I will. The problem is, not that God so loved the world, but if he wants the world to see that love in us as his children, then we have to know what that love is. We have to have an accurate description of that love and know how it spread. Otherwise, no matter how much we may want to, if we don't know what it is or how to do it, we're not going to be able to do it. The principle is the love of God has to be evident. I saw two key definitions about evident. It's clear to the vision or understanding. Evident. That means you have to see that you're loved and know that you're loved. Evident implies the presence of visible signs that lead one to a definite conclusion. I got to ask this question. Based on that, and I just saw it, just popped in. Based on that, where it had to be visible and evident, how can you love someone from a distance? How can they see your love from a distance? We need to think about that. Because we wear it as a badge of honor. I've forgiven them, I just love them from a distance. Well, forgive means you act as if it never happened. So if we have forgiveness right, what is the need to love someone from a distance? For what? If they said, what did I do to you? You'd have to say nothing because you have forgiven them, because you love them. Food for thought. Evident implies the presence of visible signs that lead one to a definite condition. So I believe that Simon and Andrew and the other, they sensed love coming from Jesus, and they probably never felt that before. And it's like that today. People don't know what real godly love is. When they talk about love, they're talking about eros. And that kind of emotional sexual love, which isn't really love. I was thinking about all the times I heard the term, we made love. And I start thinking, how can you do that and go your separate ways? You made something, you made a mess. But people don't feel love today. They hear the words, but the love they hear about is not what they see. It's not evident. It says clear to the vision or understanding. So if there's no presence of visible signs that lead one to a definite conclusion, then your love is not evident. And it needs to be evident. I love you shouldn't just be words rolling off my tongue. So we need to know what love is and how does it become evident. Let's answer the question, what is love? Go to 1 Corinthians 13. You probably knew I was headed there. I believe I'm in the Passion Translation. Forgive me, I didn't write down which verse I took this from. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. If I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains but never have learned to love, then I'm nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. How about this one? Love is not easily irritated or quick to take an offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. How about this one? Love is a safe place of shelter. Safe place, that means someone could tell you anything and feel safe talking to you about it. For it never stops believing the best for others. Never stops believing the best for others. So you can't get upset when someone's gossiping about somebody. You choose to believe the best of everybody, even the one gossiping. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. I got to park there for a minute. One of our responsibilities as pastors is to sit down in advisory sessions with members or with people, because we'll talk to someone who's not a member, because the idea is to help people. And invariably someone will say to me, "But you don't understand, we fell out of love." And I look at them and I say, "That's impossible." "You know, we fell out of love." "No, you didn't. If there's no love there, there was never any love there. Because love never fails, never fades out, or comes to an end. So if you really love someone, it's for life. And the only thing that stops you from loving them is death. See, from death do you part is not just for married couples. If you love someone, you love them till you're not here anymore. And then you'll keep loving them when you see them again in glory. So love never stops loving. The divorce rate among Christians, last time I checked, was about 6-7 months ago, was 32%. That's down from 33%. But you know something? 1% is too high. If 1% is too high, Pastor, then what's acceptable? Zero. Because getting divorced says you don't believe the best of each other, you're taking the mistakes you made as defeat, and you're giving up. And it also means you probably never loved each other in the first place, but you had some other emotional feelings, and we called it love. And the reason we called it love is because people like that word. "Oh, I just, tell me that you love me." "I love you." But we got to talk about all these charges you ran up on our credit card. This is the fifth time you did that. Love doesn't keep account of a suffered wrong. So you can't say, "This is the third time, this is the fifth time, this is the 628th time." Someone came to an advisory session and they had a notebook. And in that notebook, they had listed every offense that was committed against them by their spouse. And we said, "What do you want to talk about?" And they pulled out this notebook. We said, "Put that away." So we're not going through that notebook. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It's more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. See, our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. You could say, when love's perfection arrives, everything becomes complete. Because how does the partial fade away? It becomes whole. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set my childish ways, I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries as though reflected in a mirror, but one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. That's what's supposed to be displayed. And if you want to know that, then you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. Because that's what we should be showing in all of our interactions with one another. How is it displayed? Look at John 13. Verse 34 and 35. This one's in the Message Bible. Why change translations? I like the way it's said here. But this is the one I was led to share. Jesus said, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another." Here's the kicker. "In the same way I loved you, you love one another." So we don't have to create a new way to love. All we have to do is look how Jesus loved us and do that towards someone else. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Why do you think Satan has churches fighting against churches? Well, you go all over TikTok and Facebook, and pastors are talking about pastors and apostles. This guy's a fake. You're in a phony congregation. You need to get out of that church now. All of this stuff that's going on doesn't show that people love one another. The Bible says in Galatians, if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And then pray for yourself so that same thing doesn't fall upon you. That's what it says, how you handle people you found overtaken in the fall. And if they're overtaken, it means they've been fighting against this thing, and for whatever reason, they haven't had mastery over it, so they need help. It's displayed by doing things openly. Every single action needs to say, "I love you." The tone of every word you speak needs to say, "I love you." Not, "Get away from me, I'm trying to rest." She's so hard-headed. "I got to tell you this every single day. Can't I just come home and have some peace?" "But I love you." You say, "I'm going to stay far away from this love." And people are watching. And in some cases, listening. You know what the best thing your child can see? The parents loving each other. That's the best thing they can see. We get upset with our children when they start imitating us. "So what do you mean, Pastor?" "Well, they start cursing." Pastor Ed and I were talking about that. We talked about that at Bible study this past Friday. One of our young people said, "I know I curse sometimes, but in my house, that's what everybody does. So he doesn't know any other way. He doesn't know how to have a discussion, but he knows how to curse you out." Look at 1 John 4. It's in the Passion Translation. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love of God first demonstrated to us. Anyone can say, "I love you," yet have hatred toward another believer. This makes them a phony, because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. How many of us love God? Raise your hand. I'm not going to look at the ones that don't. And that means everybody in here should be loving towards one another. it shouldn't be an issue. Because the same way God loves us, He so loved us, He sent His one and only unique Son as a gift. Knowing everything He was going, that Jesus was going to have to go through for us. Knowing that there's a percentage of us that's never going to receive Him. Knowing it. God knows. You actually think someone who winds up in hell is going to take God by surprise? He already knows who's going to receive His Son and who's not. He already knows. But He sent Jesus for everybody anyway. He didn't say, go to the 54th parallel, make a left, and forget about those people to the right, because they're never going to accept you. No, He went through, if there was just one person, and that person was a rank sinner and was never going to go to heaven, Jesus would have died for him. You know why? We read it earlier. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. So how can we say that person will never change? You change. So you're saying you're better than them? Whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. So if we're not demonstrating love to others, what we are demonstrating is that we don't love God. Not really. If we love God, this may be a hard saying, if we truly love God, we will always demonstrate the love we have for others, regardless of what they may have done or said. First Peter 4. This is in a translation I found called the New Testament for Everyone. Above all, keep absolutely firm in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers. And we don't have, you may read that scripture and say, oh good, there's an escape clause in there, because it doesn't say all sins. It says a multitude. But look at it this way. If you're looking for sin, you're not loving the person. If you love the person, it doesn't matter what they do. You can choose to love them. Regardless of what anyone does, you can always choose to love them. Because God always chooses to love us. So if we're going to become fishers of men, we're going to have to make sure that we become and remain the place where the love of God is evident. Because that's part of the bait that they're biting. Folks have gotten into some wicked relationships because they were looking for love and they were looking in the wrong place, because they were trying to find love in a person. And you need to first find love in your Father God so you'll know how to receive the right kind of love from a person. You need to learn how to love God so we'll know how to love one another. Now, in our remaining time, I figured I'd only have about 10 minutes for this. Let's talk a little bit about the Word of God as taught. Let's go back to Matthew 4, verse 18 in the New Living Translation. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news of the kingdom. Where did He go? Throughout all the regions, and what did He do? He taught the people. Verse 25 says, large crowds followed Him. In Matthew 7, because He didn't just teach them, there's a way that He taught. Verse 28 and 29, the King James Version, says, and it came to pass When Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. People don't want to just hear any old kind of teaching. They want you to teach from knowledge, but they want you to teach it with authority, like you believe what you're talking about. You don't want to hear me stand up there and say, I know the Bible says you can love one another, but you know, some people you just need to leave alone. No. You can love everybody, and you should, because our Father loves everybody. But it says the people were astonished because they taught as one having authority. Astonished means that they were feeling or showing a great surprise. I started wondering, well, why would they be surprised at it, at the way he taught? Because authority means power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. And they had never heard teaching that did that. Oh, yeah, they heard the scribes talk about the law. But they didn't. Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in words and phrases using examples that they could relate to and they could see how they can incorporate it into their lives. They'd never heard anything like that before. My agreement with God, when he first asked me to teach, and then it was chapel at Love Christian Academy, the church when the church had a school, I said, okay, Lord, I'll say whatever you want me to say, but I have a request. Please give me messages that are easily understood. I said, I don't want to be a deep preacher. I don't want to come in and say, God works with scrupulous exactitude. And it takes you 2 weeks to figure out what I just said. I want to say, God is precise. He'll just do what he says. Amen. And just leave it at that. In the beginning, some people, because there were a lot of adults that were going to chapel, they stopped coming. They said, these messages are too infantile. I wasn't offended. I was like, thank you, because they're designed for the students anyway. But if you can't understand it, then you need a different type of conversation. If it's that infantile, why aren't you doing it? I didn't have the love walk down then. But Jesus said something else. He said, as the Father has taught me, that's what I speak. So he was only saying things that the Father told him to say. So when the hearers heard what he was saying, which is really what the Father told him to say, they were thinking they were having a conversation with the Father. And they were like, whoa, this is so good. They tell his friend, when Jesus comes, he's going, yeah, it's about a 3-day walk, but we can do it because you got to hear what he says, man. You got to hear it. Yeah, the Poconos, it's 90 miles away. Yeah, there might be traffic, but you got to hear what those folks are talking about up there. And it's not just what they're saying. When you walk in the place, it's going to feel like everybody hugged you because that's how they love people up there. You want them to get excited about having to come because, like I said, a church alive is worth the drive. Said Jesus and the disciples taught in the synagogues announcing the good news about the kingdom. I don't need to come up here and waste your time just reciting Bible verses. You can do that on your own. We're supposed to be making the scriptures come alive so we see how to incorporate it into our lives. We need to see how it's relevant to what we're going through and what's going on around us. We need to see it so we can understand it. We need to understand it so we can do it. So Pastor Ed and I, we are aware that we have different styles of delivery. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But the content's the same. The purpose is the same. When Jesus went out for a walk near Lake Galilee in Mark 2:13, it says a massive crowd gathered. So he taught them. Why did he teach them? Because he loved them. He didn't say, I'm trying to go for a walk and clear my thoughts, and you people keep bombarding me. No, he said, there are people here. It's an opportunity to teach. And so he taught. I can go to the store to get two grapefruits and a banana, and it takes 2 hours because I'm talking to the person in the fruit department. So the cashiers, when they put in my card, it says Pastor Greg, and I deliberately put Pastor there because I want them to know. And they say, Pastor. I said, yep, that's me. Can I ask you a question? Sure. I said, but you do have people online. He said, well, can you wait? I said, sure, I'll wait. I get home, I said, what took you so long? And I would smile. I said, you were talking to someone, weren't you? I said, yep. I was talking. I go to the barbershop. I don't need to go to the barbershop. I have a razor. I can do my own hair. I go for the fellowship and the conversation. The barber asked me, so, Pastor, what are you teaching on Sunday? And I'm talking to him, but I'm noticing that all the other, the three or four other chairs in the shop, they're all stopping listening and chiming in. So you're saying this? No, I'm not saying anything. That's what the Bible's saying. Like, wow, we never heard that before. Where the Word of God is taught. People need to know that you are a place, you're a person in whom the love of God is evident. They should know that about you. Demon Love Christian Center, I know about that place. They're some of the most lovingest people you've ever seen. I don't know if lovingest is a word. I just was not. I just created one. And they're taught the word. They'll tell you what the word says. And I'll do it in a way that it makes, you know, it just makes sense. People are just coming to the, they're biting, and you're just reeling them in. See, we don't, everybody just thinks that this word is for the sinner. It is. I don't want to lose sight of that. But it's to bring everybody together. Everybody. Paul's messages were to the church, not necessarily to the unbelievers. He was talking to the church. This is how the church should be acting. We want to know. Last Monday, I think it was, decided to have pizza. I didn't want to cook. My wife didn't want to cook. I said, hey, we'll do pizza. I go and get the pizza. It was last Sunday. I go and get the pizza, and I come out, and one of the owners is, Pastor, hey, how you doing? He said, everything's fine. He said, but can I talk to you for a moment? I'm sure. Now I have a hot pizza that I know is not going to be a hot pizza long. But we're talking outside, and the wind's blowing. And I looked at him and I said, can we go back inside? It's a little chilly out here. And I went and go to the table and said, no, let's come over here out of the way. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a good one. And we go and he said to me, he said, I know as a pastor, you don't get into politics and things like that, but there's a question I really need to ask you. I said, ask the question. What the heck is going on? That's what he said to me. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you guys are the church. And when I look around and I listen to what's being said, it sounds like I'm saying it. How come the church isn't saying something different? I said, that's a very good question. It's a very good question. The church has missed it, and a lot of churches have repented, and we're getting it right. But we should be saying what God says. And you should be seeing everything way God said that we should be living our life should be evident in every church member. I said, so it is our fault because we were put here to control the earth, to bring it under subjection, and we haven't done a good job of that because we've been looking at social issues and political issues and other things, and we've forgotten, we've lost sight of who we are. I said, but the good news is we're starting to remember. You know, a big smile came on his face, and he's like, I'm glad about that. I didn't ask him if he was born again or anything like that. That will come. I answered his question. Explaining the love of God to him. But there are a lot of people that come in. There are folks that come in pastoral garb. I wear regular clothes. I don't wear pastoral garb. I forget what they call it. Whatever it's called, I choose not to wear it. But he doesn't ask them. He waits till I come in, and I don't go in there often. I'd like to, but I don't. Because I go in there too much, I need to buy a new wardrobe. But he'll ask me questions. I'll come in, all of the servers back there. Hey, Pastor Greg, how you doing, Pastor Greg? Getting your regular today? But I'll say, you haven't ordered a Pastor Greg in a while. And I said, well, I wanted something else. For now, I'll go back to the Pastor Greg in a little bit. But that's a special pie I ordered. They just called it the Pastor Greg. But the reason I have that relationship with them is that they see that I genuinely have a love for them and want to see them well. And I say things to them in a manner that they can understand. And when I say it, I'm not full of myself because myself is not saying it. The Holy Ghost is telling me how to answer the questions. And what the Holy Ghost tells me to say, that's what I say. That's John 8:28. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. I wrote down this thing that the Holy Ghost said to me last night. Jesus loves like the Father loves him. He taught as the Father's taught him. We should do the same thing. And as it was recorded in the scriptures and spoken prophetically over this ministry, the people will come. But they want to come to a place where the love of God is evident. They want to come to a place where they know and they can trust that the Word of God is taught. They can trust on the truth that the Spirit of God is directing. And they can expect the power of God to be in manifestation. That's the identity of the place where God sent you this morning. And if he sends you back next Sunday, guess what? That's still going to be our identity. But next Sunday, we're going to talk about, I may have one or two more things to say about the Word of God being taught, but we're going to talk about the Spirit of God being directing and his power being manifested. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time we had in your Word. Thank you for showing us the little subtleties that are involved and reinforcing what we already know, that we're to love one another the same way you love us. We're to love one another because that's how everyone will know that we're your children. They will see the love we have for one another. Thank you that by your Holy Ghost, you'll give revelation to everyone as to the points you want them to remember about this message today. And collectively, we'll all get to the same place. We'll all be at that place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested for the benefit of the people and the church. Thank you for letting us be an example to other churches, that they can come together and be a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. Everyone that's associated with you, that should be their cornerstone, their rock, their basic belief. Why? Because we're all children. There's one God, one Holy Spirit, and one assignment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we thank you that you've given us bait that the people will bite. And just like they did when Jesus said, come, when we meet them and say, come, they'll drop everything and come because they'll see us. They'll see your relationship with you as being valuable, precious, and necessary. In Jesus' name, thank you that we understand now that where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifested, is more than just a model. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior? Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why is that necessary? Because Jesus himself told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father unless you come by me. So we want to give you an opportunity to become acquainted with Jesus the Christ. Is there anyone here who's never done that and wants to? Because I'll just lead you in a short confession, and it'll be done.